Welcome to Up to Date. I'm Steve Kraske. In the fall of 2012, Henry Fortunato of the Kansas City Public Library took a little stroll from Overland Park down to Wichita. Now, that seems but small-time stuff to Fortunato, who just upped his ante by walking from Overland Park west almost to the Colorado line. Along the way, he encountered numerous county sheriffs, visited a family living in a former missile silo, spent the night with nuns at a rural convent, gained firsthand experience with the unique qualities of Kansas mud, and tried to avoid becoming unnerved by a visibly increasing population of reptiles. We'll visit with Henry in just a minute. Later on today, we'll check in with business owners in Mission about how they're recovering after a long construction project on Johnson Drive. But first up, Henry Fortunato back in one piece after another of his long walks, and he'll speak about it Wednesday night at Johnson County Community College. More on that in just a few minutes. Henry, always good to have you here. Welcome back.
Steve, it's always good to be here. Thanks for having me.
Well, I know people have asked you this over and over again, but you keep walking across the great state of Kansas, Henry. Why?
Well, you know, I've gone from being an accidental Kansan to an unlikely Kansan to what my older son calls a naturalized Kansan. I've just fallen in love with the state. It's an unlikely outcome for somebody who grew up in New York and couldn't imagine living more than five blocks from a subway stop. But I find that walking across Kansas is a renewing experience, an experience that makes me really grateful that my life turned out the way it did.
And you love what about the state? As you make your way west, what is it you're in love with?
Well, obviously, the scenery. Some people think Kansas is a flat, dull, boring place. And at 75 miles per hour on I-70, it is. Mm-hmm. But when you go at 3 miles per hour on section line back roads and rural highways, you see it up close. You get to see the different shades of green and yellow. You look at barns and farms. And I think what I find most compelling is the chance encounters with strangers, strangers who are invariably kind, welcoming, and willing to tell me their stories.
Hmm. This time, Henry, you went due west. Describe the route you took as you made your way from your home in Overland Park to Greeley County.
Well, it was largely west. I wouldn't call it due west.
Mm-hmm.
If I had wanted to parallel I-70, it would have been a lot quicker and a lot shorter. But my route is a function of two things. A, the distance, and my range is about 30 miles in one day. I don't like to do 30 miles in one day.
That's
I prefer
a long
to do
way,
more like,
Henry. That's serious walking.
Yeah. It really is. And the day I had to do 31 miles, I couldn't believe it. I mean, you know, I was halfway through. I said, oh, great, only 15 miles to go.
Mm-hmm.
So it's a function of distance and also a function of where I can find a place to sleep.
Mm-hmm.
Because I don't carry a tent. I don't carry a sleeping bag. I want to be indoors. I want to be under a roof. I want a bed. I want to take a shower in the morning. As one of my friends
darn it.
As one of my friends put it once, she said, every night you want a soft pillow and a stiff drink.
Yeah. And that's what you're going to have. So you plot this route out ahead of time before you leave?
Largely.
Mm-hmm.
Largely. I have a pretty good idea of how I'm going to go and where I'm going to go and what the route's going to be. But of course, everything is always subject to a bit of revision depending upon conditions on the ground. For example, there are times when all of my research reveals that there's no place to stay in a given distance and that I'm going to have to walk on a highway that I really don't want to walk on.
Mm-hmm.
But I've come to presume that the fates will take care of me, that I will meet somebody who will know somebody who will make a recommendation, and I'll find somebody's spare couch. And that always happens.
And that always happens?
Always.
Have you ever spent the night outdoors in any of these treks you've taken?
Never, but there are times when I was searching for a place to stay.
Cutting it close.
And it was getting dark, and I noticed an empty barn, and I said, well, I guess I could go there if I had to. But no, I've always made it to where I wanted to go.
Huh. And you did this when? When did you begin? When did you end it?
I left in mid-September, and I came back in late October. It was 39 days.
And the temperature changed how?
Well, you know, I had really thought that I was picking the absolute right time because we kind of had a coolish summer, and I thought that would be a harbinger of what we'd get this fall. In fact, it was a pretty warm fall. There were a lot of days when I would, you know, by 10 o'clock, I'd shed my sweatshirt and was down to short sleeves because it was warm. There were a few days when it was not warm, when the wind was really rough. In fact, ironically, the day that I walked to Greensburg, and I wanted to go there because I wanted to see the post-tornado Greensburg.
So you did Vera. That's pretty far south, Henry.
Oh, yeah. I mean, I went to – oh, I didn't answer your question. I mean, basically, I went more or less west, more or less tracking I-70 till about Salina. Then I had to start making some long and winding twists and turns and doglegs to get to these different places where I could spend the night. And then I wanted to go to Dodge City because how can you cross Kansas without going to an iconic Wild West place like Dodge City? But to get there, I had to go to Greensburg because, again, the distance and the accommodation situation. But what I was saying is on the way to Greensburg, it was naturally the windiest day I had experienced. For 20 miles, I was walking straight into the wind. It was cool. The rainy days got cold, but for the most part, the weather was just fine.
If anyone else decides to duplicate this, be forewarned. The local police took a very active interest in your trek, and they did that. Why?
Well, there aren't that many people who are walking the back roads and countryside of Kansas.
Is there anybody, Henry, besides Henry Fortunato?
I only met one other person who was powering his way across Kansas with his own body, and this was a cyclist who was biking west. Biking east from California. He was on his way to St. Louis. Otherwise, no. There were no other walkers.
Did you two have a good meeting, two itinerant trekkers here getting together and having a conversation?
It was very good, but it was very brief. I had to keep on moving, and so did he. But yes, we agreed that – and he was 62. I'm 58. We agreed that being outdoors and using our bodies for self-locomotion was keeping us healthy.
Oh, that's neat. And have you stayed in touch with him at all?
No, I didn't even get his name.
Off he went.
It was a brief 5-minute conversation, largely self-congratulatory, and then we moved on.
And then the police were taking an interest. Why?
Well, it was sheriff's deputies. Mm-hmm. Well, I think what happens is people see me. They don't often see pedestrians in Kansas. The first thought is, well, maybe his car broke down, so he needs help. The second thought is, well, maybe he's on the lam, so let's check him out. So they have these things, the sheriff's deputies, they call them welfare checks. And they come up and they want to make sure you're okay, not only if you're okay, but that if you're not running away from anything. You know, when we talked about this a few years ago, when this first started happening to me on my walk to Wichita, it was actually kind of irritating. But I've come to expect it. And in fact, every single one of these guys was nice, skeptical, but very nice.
I was going to say, do they buy your story when you say I'm just walking from my home in Overland Park out to the western edge of the state because I want to do it?
Well, I don't know if they buy it, but when I give them my ID and they check me out and there's nothing on it, what can they say?
Does anyone even call the library and say, is this guy really who he says he is?
It happened 2 years ago, but no, it didn't happen this time. If you remember, 2 years ago, I had allowed my – remember, I don't have a driver's license because I don't drive. I have a non-driver's ID. And I had let that expire, and that's what caused a lot of problems for me. So this year I figured, oh, well, better get that thing renewed. So I was up to date, as it were.
So is such a thing as a non-driver's license ID card?
It's a non-driver's ID, yeah. It's issued by Kansas DMV. It looks like a driver's license, but it's not.
So you're immediately suspect because, A, you don't have a driver's license, and, B, you're walking across the state. That's raising all kinds of red flags here.
But it was less suspect than what I used to do, which was give them my passport.
Yeah. And you used to do that when you walked earlier?
I used to do that. I thought it was kind of cute, but it was getting me – it was creating problems. So giving people the non-driver's ID was good enough.
We're visiting with Henry Fortunato from the Kansas City Public Library, who just completed another major trek across Kansas, this one from his home in Overland Park to the Colorado border, largely going west, but he took some detours along the way. If you want to join our conversation with a question for Henry, 816-235-2888 is our phone number here. Again, 816-235-2888. And Henry will be discussing his eventful journey at 7 tomorrow evening at Johnson County Community College out on College Boulevard. The illustrated presentation, A Long and Winding Walk Across the Sunflower State, will be at the school's Nerman Museum of Contemporary Arts Hudson Auditorium. That's tomorrow night at 7, and I'll put that out again here in just a little bit. Outside from the interest from the police, what was the hardest part of this particular trip, Henry? Was it the traffic whizzing by, the reptiles? What was it that made this trip more challenging?
Well, I think the real issue is the distances. The further west you go, the distances between towns get longer. Huh. And as the weeks went by, the daylight hours grew shorter. And so the real challenge is to get up early, get where you're going to go before it gets dark, because once it gets dark, it's dark. I mean, there's no lights.
Yeah. So, and your ability to sort of connect at that point is more difficult because you're more suspicious maybe when it's dark. And
no, I just don't know where I'm going and when it's
yeah.
dark.
Mm-hmm.
So the issues were the truck traffic was unnerving. I didn't realize that for the last few days of the walk, I had chosen a route that had recently been redesignated for oversized load trucks.
Oh, man.
And they don't travel singly. They go in packs. Also, the further west you get in Kansas, there's increasing evidence of reptiles, particularly snakes. And I saw quite a few of them. Most of them were dead, but a few of them were very much alive.
Rattlesnakes?
Rattlesnakes, other snakes. They were snakes. I mean, it doesn't really matter what kind they were. They were large and they were slithering. And so the final days of my walk, I was like a metronome. I would look up for trucks, down for snakes, up for trucks, down for snakes. And it took a lot of grim determination sometimes just to keep on going.
Did you come close to a snake? I mean, accidentally, a live snake?
Does like 18 inches qualify as close?
Yeah.
1 foot qualify as close?
Yeah.
Yeah, really close. And I had to walk around several of them.
Man, I wouldn't like that.
I think the weirder part for me, and to demonstrate where my head was at, was a lot of those little squiggly tar lines, which
yeah.
often you wouldn't pay any attention to, began to look like snakes.
Oh, that's funny. That's funny. And that began to play in your head a little bit.
Oh, absolutely. Sure. Sure. But again, keep on going always look for the water tower, because every town of any consequence has a water tower.
I was going to ask you about that. Those sort of became your beacons in the distance here, right? Your guide stars, in a sense. Tell us about that.
The water towers were my lighthouses.
Mm-hmm.
When I would see a water tower, I knew that I was at most 9 miles away, which is still 3 hours, but sometimes, you know, only 5 hours, 5 miles or even 4 miles.
Could you see them that far away?
Remarkably, you can. Kansas is not as flat as people think it is, but it's not exactly hilly. So, yes, of course, I'm looking for them. So anything that looks like a shining dome in the distance, that's good enough for me.
Mm-hmm.
And then it gets there. So, yes, the water towers were very, very important. I looked forward to seeing them every day.
So when you would, you know, if you didn't have a specific designation in mind at the end of any one day, how would you go about the process of trying to find a place to stay? How did you manage that?
Oh, well, I was always 2 or 3 days ahead of myself.
Mm-hmm.
So there was never a day when I didn't know where I was going to stop. There were sometimes I didn't know I was going to stop 2 or 3 days from then, but I always knew I was going to be that night.
Mm-hmm. Let me get our listeners involved here. Would you want to take a walk across Kansas in the same in the mold of Henry Fortunato? Is that appealing to you or is it not? 816-235-2888 is our number here. Again, 816-235-2888. You climbed, when you got to Topeka, you climbed to the top of the Kansas State House with none other than the Lieutenant Governor of the state, Dr. Jeff Collier. How did that come about? And that's a journey I've taken myself in years past. And what a wonderful place to go. It's a terrific vista when you get up there. Yeah.
Well, you know, Jeff is a craniofacial plastic surgeon.
Yes, he is.
In real life, one of the best in the Midwest. And 17 years ago, almost right about now, my younger son was born with a minor birth defect, and Jeff Collier was the surgeon who took care of him. So we've been acquaintances ever since, and I see him from time to time. And I had mentioned to him that I'd be taking my walk across Kansas, that I'd be passing through Topeka. And he said, well, you know, let me know. Maybe we can get together. And it turned out he had a spare hour. So I went to the State House to see him. And he looks at me somewhat conspiratorially and he says, have you ever been to the top of the Capitol Dome? And I said, no. He said, well, you know, I'm one of three people who has the key to the door that goes to the stairs. You yes. want to go? And I said, great. So here were these two guys in their mid-50s scampering around the Capitol Dome like we were in Grandma's attic.
Yeah, and what an amazing trek that is up those steps. And you get outside on top of the dome, and there's that, if I recall correctly, there's that sort of iron staircase that takes you up over the rotunda, above the rotunda that you see when you're inside the building on the first or second or third floors looking up. You get above that thing on this walkway, this staircase that takes you out into the middle of the dome and then back, arching back towards the side of the building. And it kind of takes your breath away a little bit.
One needs to be a bit agile to do those final steps. Absolutely.
Yeah. And was it a nice day when you got outside? And
it was a perfect day. It was a perfect
day. You could almost see Lawrence from up there on the right day.
It wasn't that right a day.
Yeah, yeah.
But it was, yeah, it's terrific. It was more the idea that I was taking my walk, and why not take a vertical walk along with the horizontal?
Mm-hmm. Oh, it's a great place when you get up there. Do I have this right? You met the one person along the way. I saw that you had to deal with a whole series of unexpected road closures and detours, Henry. How did you handle those moments?
Well, the thing is, the maps, both the printed state maps and the online maps, they're reasonably accurate, but what they do not show is when a road has been closed, when a bridge is under reconstruction. Mm. And there's really no way of knowing that until you get real close and you start seeing those orange detour signs.
Yeah.
Now, for you driving in a car, oh, no big deal. You have to go around maybe 5 or 6 miles, but you get back on the road. For me, a six-mile detour is 2 hours. Well, you know what I did? I would walk up to the closure sign. I take a quick look. I just keep on going. Mm-hmm. Oftentimes what it turned out was that maybe the bridge itself was closed, but the roads were open. So I just kept on going.
If the bridge was closed, could you still walk across it?
Well, one time I could. One time it was closed because it was under reconstruction. But one of the workers said he was going to look the other way, and I just made my way across.
So you could get across without having to do the 5 or 6 mile detour, that kind of thing.
Well, you know, in one of those cases, one of the construction workers actually offered to drive me around the bridge if I didn't want to walk across the part that was under construction.
But did you take him up on it?
I thought about it, but I looked at it, and I thought I could make it, and I did. Yeah, I have really specific rules about whether or not I take rides, and the main rules are, A, I wouldn't accept a ride until I've walked at least 20 miles in a given day. B, it has to be really bad weather. Or C, it has to be getting really late. Otherwise, I really don't like to take rides. I get offered rides all the time. But, I mean, this is about walking. So the rides are an asterisk, a little bonus if I really need it. But otherwise, I don't take them.
You know, let's talk about some of the people you met along the way, Henry. And let's begin with the woman west of Topeka who, it turns out, she went to high school with your sister-in-law.
Yeah, that was pretty bizarre, and as a function of the power of Facebook. She met me through several connections and was going to host me with her husband at their house for the night. And so she put on her Facebook page that there's this guy walking across Kansas, and we're going to have him over our house for dinner. And she included a link to an article that was written about one of my previous walks. It turns out that one of her Facebook fans is a friend of hers who went to high school with her. And it turns out that that woman is, in fact, my sister-in-law.
Small world, Henry.
You can't make this up.
Yeah. Let's go to some calls. Florence from Kansas City, Missouri. Our number here, 816-235-2888. Florence, good morning.
Good morning. This is kind of a strange question. Aside from the reptiles your wonderful guest shared about, could he share three Kansas historical facts he discovered on this track?
Kansas historical facts, Henry, from Florence.
Oh, well, there's all kinds of grand history out there in Kansas if you look for it. So I went to the first territorial capital of Kansas, which is actually on the grounds of Fort Riley. I passed by the spot not too far.
What do you see there when you go to that first capital?
Oh, well, it's a two-story stone building, and it was the capital for about 4 days. It was Governor Reeder, the first territorial governor of Kansas, held court there primarily because he was an investor in the town company that hoped to make that into the capital. But, of course, this was the time when the bogus legislature, the largely pro-Missourian, pro-slavery faction, was in control of the territory. So after 4 days, they moved the capital to Shawnee Mission.
Huh. That's right. And what else did you find historically?
Well, all kinds of great markers, some on battles and trails that are forgotten. One pointing out that in far western Kansas, George Washington Carver actually homesteaded for a few years. And then, of course, there's a terrific reconstruction of Fort Larned, just outside of Larned, Kansas.
I've always wanted to see that.
Yeah, it was the first national park site in Kansas. It's extremely well done. Also well done, and it looks terrible from the outside, so it dissuades people from going in. It looks kind of tacky, but inside it is an excellent example of Old West history, is the Boot Hill Museum in Dodge City.
What about the Larned site that you say? Describe it to us, and where is Larned exactly?
Larned is in southwest Kansas, close to Dodge City. Fort Larned was on the Santa Fe Trail. The interpretive signage indicates that it was it offered shelter to weary travelers crossing the prairie. And that day, I was a pretty weary traveler crossing the prairie, on top of which it was raining very heavily. So I felt kind of at home at the fort. It's a well-done piece. It also, you know, it's not... We have this image of these frontier forts being stockade forts, but it's not a stockade fort. It's just a series of stone buildings. And the reason for this is the Plains Indians knew that if they made a head-on attack on a fort, they would lose. So there was no need for the kind of F troop stockade fence that we think of when we think of Western forts.
Well, you lost me there. So why wouldn't the white folks build a fort to prevent attacks from the Native Americans?
Because the Native Americans would not attack. They would not attack a fort where there were soldiers emplaced in battlements. They knew they couldn't they couldn't win.
So why not build the fort then? Why wouldn't the soldiers build the fort?
There was no need to.
Okay.
There was no need to. They weren't going to be attacked.
Because of the buildings they had without the – okay,
right.
I got you. Okay. Henry Fortunato is our guest. He's with the Kansas City Public Library. He just took a long walk across Kansas, his second one that he's done. Let's talk about the widower who gave you water, and the man's son turned out to be the fire chief in Russell.
Yes, one of the great things about these walks is the instances of serendipity that just come by happenstance. It was a very warm day. I was walking from Eskridge to Alma. I carry 3 bottles of water, and this was only going to be about an 18-mile walk, maybe even less than that, so it wasn't going to be too bad. Within a couple hours, though, it was so hot, I was running out of water, and I was looking at having to ration the water. So finally I said, I got to ask somebody to fill up my water bottles. And I saw this house. The family name was out front. There were 2 American flags flying. I figured, okay, this is safe. So I knock on the door, and I start explaining myself, and they invite me in, and they offer to fill up my water. And it turns out the man is a recent widower, and his son and daughter-in-law are there to help him work through some things. And we start chatting, and turns out the son is the fire chief in Russell. So he invites me to visit him when I go to Russell, which is really good because on the road to Russell, I was stopped by yet another sheriff's deputy. And this time I could say, oh, well, I'm visiting the sheriff's, the fire department chief in Russell. So that was my pass for the day. But you know what? 3 hours later, when we were having dinner, the fire chief in Russell got a call from that sheriff's deputy just to make sure that this guy wasn't stalking him.
Did you stop by and see Bob Dole's home?
I did, in fact, see Bob Dole's home.
Mm-hmm.
There are many, many, many mementos to Bob Dole there, on water towers and parks, even a fire truck.
Yeah. Let's go to some phone calls again. Kim from Kansas City, Kansas. Kim, you're on with Henry Fortunato. Good morning.
Good morning. Hi. I had a kind of a two-part question. The first was, does this provide, these walks provide some kind of therapy for you, or what is your main goal when doing them? And then the second part was, would you ever take a group of volunteers and kind of do this as a pack? Thank you.
Okay.
Yeah, thank you for the call, Kim.
Therapy, that's an interesting way of looking at it. I would say that I believe that we always need to be – certainly I always need to be pushing the envelope. I always need to be trying something new. I always need to be pushing myself to see if I can do something. I wanted to see if I could walk across the state of Kansas. I didn't know that I could, but I wanted to try it. So in that sense, yes, it was very therapeutic because I look back on it now and it was utter madness to attempt it. And having done it, I feel much saner. Taking a group, I've never thought about that. Walking for me is a solitary activity. But it does strike me that groups of people walking is probably a saner and safer way for people to see the countryside. So I have given it some thought.
Do you see a future for walkers across Kansas? I mean, is that something you'd like to see begin to sort of happen on a more regular basis?
Well, as a matter of fact, I do, Steve. I think I have a vision for Kansas. I think Kansas can become a walking state. There are places in England where you can take these 5-6 day walks and go from B&B to B&B and walk through the countryside. I think we can do that here in Kansas. Mm-hmm. I think that Kansas, although as I say, it's not as flat as people think it is, the terrain is not exactly all that challenging. So you can do 10-15 miles a day. You can see a lot of countryside. You can go to a nice town or two. You can go to a great restaurant. You can have a great experience reacquainting yourself with the land.
A couple of final things. You stopped in Greensburg, as you mentioned, which was hit so hard by the tornado a few years ago. What did you notice in terms of that town's recovery from that tragedy?
Well, the good news is that a lot of the buildings or a lot of the structures that have been rebuilt are, of course, much better than they were prior to the tornado. For example, mm-hmm. the Big Well Museum is really exceptionally well-done museum. Anyone who's anywhere near Greensburg should visit it.
It's what, the deepest well ever?
It's the largest hand-dug well in creation, or at least that part of the country. And so that's really terrific. There is a real mood there about being very green, about becoming the most environmentally sound town in the country. And while that's not working out perfectly well, it's certainly moving in the right direction. There's a lot of people there who want to make that happen. They're filled with great spirit, and I was very taken with them.
You also came across the largest cement sculpture of toilet paper in the world in Lucas, Kansas. Henry, why does Lucas, Kansas have the largest sculpture of toilet paper in the world, and what's that about?
I'm not sure it's the largest sculpture, and I'm not sure it's made of concrete, but it's certainly in that zone.
Yeah.
It's certainly got to be one of the largest sculptures of a roll of toilet paper ever. Well, Lucas, you know, is the home grounds of the Garden of Eden. Samuel Dinsmore. Lucas has embraced a form of lunacy in the form of folk art. It wants to be the folk art capital of the country. And one of the ways they've done that is by creating this extraordinary public restroom facility. Both the men's room and the women's room are filled with folk art, and outdoors, outside, to sort of advertise it, is this large roll of toilet paper. I think it's probably the only public restroom facility that's actually run by an arts center.
Is there real paper on the thing?
No. It's either concrete or something else like that. But it's clearly a roll of toilet paper.
Steve emailed us this, Henry. What about dogs?
Oh, dogs. Yeah.
Good question, Steve.
Dogs are always a problem.
Yes, they are.
In this particular case, I didn't have too many close calls. Dogs tend to – well, they're loose. And so they see you and they start barking. Most of them tend to come up to the edge of the property and just bark at you. A few get a little closer, and a few sometimes decide to accompany you for a few miles.
Mm-hmm.
I've never been bitten, and I've never come close, but there were times when I was certainly on my guard.
Do you have something to spray them with?
I thought about that, but no, I just have my stick.
Henry Fortunato discusses his journey at 7 Wednesday evening at Johnson County Community College out in Overland Park. The illustrated presentation, A Long and Winding Walk Across the Sunflower State, will be at the Nerman Museum of Contemporary Art out at JUCO there. And Henry, welcome back. Glad you made it safely. Always good to have you here.
Thanks, Steve. Same here.